1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're not together.
We're apart.
For the first time in Song Salad history.
Yeah, in 30, this will be our 32nd episode.
Yeah.
And we've always just been huddled under Scott's lofted second bed around a single microphone.
Yep.
And now we are 600 miles apart.
Yeah. I am in Chicago. What's up, Midwest?
Do we have listeners in the Midwest?
We will now. I'm going to put Song Salad posters up. What is a song salad? So I can tell Chicago all about it.
A song salad is a song that we write in a random musical genre about a random topic that we get from Wikipedia. And also, this is just going to be sort of our status quo for the next month or so.
Yeah.
While Scott is working in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, Scott.
Yeah?
Hey, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
I am the captain now. I am the captain
Shannon is very excited.
I get to edit the episodes.
Which means she's going to keep in all of the times that I screw up my words and edit out all the times she screws up her words.
I'm seriously so excited. Guys, you're going to be like, holy crap. I had no idea that Shannon was that smart because she sounds like an idiot.
You know what I do, though, that I don't really tell you about this, but you're going to have to start doing it and you're going to notice it. That I edit out all of your ums.
Yeah, well, I'll edit out all your ums, too.
I don't say ums.
You don't say ums?
No.
Ever?
Never.
That's bullshit. So in preparation for my new role as the editor of Song Salad, I was listening to some of our old episodes, and I have a list of banned words that we are no longer allowed to say.
Both of us?
Both of us, yes, very much so.
What do I overuse?
We both overuse two words.
Uh-huh.
The first word that we overuse horrifically is interesting. We say that everything is interesting.
Everything is interesting.
And we also say things are weird. So we say things are weird and we say things are interesting. And I want to challenge the both of us.
To pull up a thesaurus page for both of those words and have it handy.
Yes. So, so from now on, I'm going to make Scott sound dumb and no one is going to say interesting or weird, or I will bleep it.
Great. I probably overuse great too.
What did you have to say? What are your announcements?
It's not an announcement as much as an idea, but I was thinking about ways we could monetize this podcast.
Okay.
What if we have people send us $20 and they give us their name, a little something about themselves, and their favorite style of music, and we write a very short, quick song for them that we do on the podcast?
I mean, it would be super fun.
And lucrative.
Do you think people would actually pay us to do it?
Tweet at us if you think this is a good idea.
If you would give us 20 whole American dollars?
Yes.
Really? 20?
Most other podcasts charge $100 for any kind of mention.
Yeah, because they have more than 4 people listening to them.
We have more than 4.
Okay, so in summary, tweet at us at SongSaladCast if you would, for whatever godforsaken reason, give us money to write a personalized song about you.
Tell us how much you would pay.
And tell us how much you would pay. And don't say a dollar, because
well, maybe say $1. I don't know.
You're
doesn't
waffling.
Have to be a good song for a dollar.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. How about
why don't we have
you,
different
you
levels?
Us, yeah, exactly. you
tiered
pay us
pricing.
What you want, and we'll give you the song that's worth the amount of money that you give us.
My name is Todd. I want a $2 song about myself.
I got to see that Venmo before I start, Todd. If you give us $10,000, we'll write you an entire one-act musical. How about
that? We'll write like an oratorio.
Yeah. We've written a couple of those. Okay. So should we do the podcast maybe?
Let's do the podcast.
Okay. So let's go to moodfuse.com.
And are you doing it or am I doing it?
I've never done it.
I think you should do it.
Okay. I'm going to do it. So we didn't get any salad spinner suggestions this week, despite the fact that I asked for them. Rude. So what should the salad spinner sound like? What's a Chicago thing that the salad spinner can sound like?
Hot dogs?
Yes. Great. The salad spinner sounds like hot dogs.
Wait, you know what the salad spinner should be?
What?
So Megan, my fiance, and I, the night before I left for Chicago, we were laying in bed wondering what the musical Chicago would be like if it were just an advertisement for tourism in Chicago. And like going through every song and changing the lyrics to be about different things in Chicago.
Okay.
So I sang, instead of Razzle Dazzle, I was like, give them the old mustard relish, pickle pepperum, and just a list of toppings of a Chicago hot dog.
Wait, are the Chicagoans the insane people who put tomatoes on their hot dogs?
They do. They put tomatoes, sport peppers, celery salt, relish, mustard, like all sorts of stuff. It's actually delicious without the tomato.
Yeah, minus the tomato. Yeah. Bill, barf. Okay. So,
all right,
here we go. Salad spinner sounds like
now.
Yes, now.
Deep dish, Mr. Deep Dish, should have been my name, Mr. Deep Dish. This is so exciting because I can't see the result.
Oh, poetry.
Oh, boy.
So,
what is the example that Mood Fuse uses?
The fish, Elizabeth Bishop reads. Is this just spoken word?
Is there music under it? Because that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just Googling poetry and music to see there's a ton.
So this is The Doors, Lady Lazarus by Sylvia Plath. But it's her reading it interspersed with the music. So it's sort of spoken word with musical accompaniment, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. That sounds really fascinating. I like this because we can determine what type of poetry and what style of music we want to do based on our topic.
Yeah, that's absolutely we can. And I get to write some poetry.
Now, the thing we need to find out, though, is if there's any specific information on poetry and music that we can talk about in terms of common theme styles, forms, etc.
It honestly doesn't seem like it, so I'm wondering if this is going to be a real loosey-goosey episode.
Hey, because we've wasted 15 minutes talking about giving us money for songs.
I know. I'm looking at Elizabeth Bishop. I'm looking at Langston Hughes. I'm looking at Billy Collins.
Uh-huh. I'm also just looking at the poetry Wikipedia page. And we can talk about the fact that poetry, depending on what form you're talking about, has rhythm inherently built in. And
absolutely,
the musical accompaniment for poetry, I would assume, plays into those rhythms and stresses. Or at least enhances the aesthetic nature of the poem.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we could either do there's, beat poet kind of thing where there's a rhythmic mm-hmm. accompaniment that isn't necessarily you're not singing when you're
right.
performing beat poetry or slam poetry, but you
doing
are
it to the rhythm.
Yeah, and there's a sort of give and take with the rhythm mm-hmm. and with the music, but you're not right. necessarily singing. Or we could do it we set a poem to music.
Yeah.
Or use the lyrics of a poem as a chorus or as the inspiration, or the hook is a line from a poem. The possibilities are endless.
I'm kind of thinking we should just jump into our article and then figure out what type of poetry best fits the topic and what type of music best fits the topic, and then we'll do more research into those. I think that sounds and great and whatever the other word we're not supposed to use was. And
all right, so I'm going to go to Wikipedia and I'm going to hit the random article button and the salad spinner. Oh my God, I'm not prepared because I didn't think it was coming up this quickly.
You have to come up with altered lyrics for a song in Chicago about Chicago.
Okay. Come on, babe, we're get a pizza pie. Da, 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 da. And all that cheese.
Ooh. I got... I don't know how to pronounce this. Mericoidadanotidia? One word. Sometimes called ruminating hogs.
What?
Is an extinct superfamily of prehistoric cud-chewing artiodactyls with short faces and fang-like canine teeth.
It's Cimocetus, the snub-nosed whale, but it's a
pig. As their name implies, some of the better-known forms were generally hog-like, and the group was once thought to be a member of the pigs and their ancestors.
Wait, send me the article over Skype because I'm never going to be able to spell it.
Look at that word.
Oh my God. Mericoidadanotidia.
And to you as well.
On top of the Mericoidadanotidia.
Oh, Mericoidadanotidia. And a happy new year. Oreodont means mountain teeth.
Oh, God.
Four-toed hooves? These things were gross. It was like an animal that combined pigs, dogs, camels, and hippos, and sheep all in one, and then split off into all those different animals.
Oh, and there were like a bunch of them. So there were semi-aquatic ones. There were trunked browser ones. There were large grazer ones. Medium grazer. So there was like cow one, a goat one, and then a small desert herbivore, like goat herbivore to cat sized. So these were like a whole. You said weird. I'm bleeping you.
Damn it.
I'm not bleeping any of the swear words. Just the no-no words. Mericoidadanotidia. Okay. Mericoidodontoidia. Mericoidodontoidia.
That's pretty good.
Mericoidodontoidia. My cat is sticking his face and paws under the door, and can you hear him meowing?
I can, yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, should we read a little bit more about these fellas?
Yeah, okay.
They grazed amid the grasslands, prairies, and savannas of North and Central America.
Okay.
The Cenozoic area, 48 million years ago.
Area? Era?
Did I say area?
You did say area.
The fossils of their jaws and teeth are commonly found amid the Oregon... Nope. Oreodon beds of the White River Badlands in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Wyoming. So they're American.
God bless.
The majority of oreodonts are presumed to have lived in herds, as suggested by the thousands of individuals and the various mass mortalities seen in the White River Badlands, Oreodont beds, or Chula Vista. Guess what I found?
What?
Oreodont fossils for sale.
Okay, so how many songs for people do we have to write till we can buy one Oreodont fossil?
The cheapest Oreodont partial skull found in Wyoming is $159.
Oh, damn.
And if we get 8 people to pay $20 each, we'll still have a dollar left over.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's a 6-inch fossil. It's a partial jaw, partial skull. It has some teeth in it.
So are we calling it our Oreodont fundraiser?
We got to come up with a catchier name.
Dollars for donts.
Help us scoreodont.
Oh, God. I'm reading that there were 50 genres
of Oreodonta in paleozoological literature, but they're considered to be what's called taxonomically oversplit.
What does that mean?
Which I think means that a bunch of people discovered them and then they realized that they're actually the same things.
Huh.
So it said that many of these genera, which I think is like the plural of genre, or no, plural of genus.
Okay.
Wow, the plural of genus is genera?
That's really
That is very So anyway, so there were a whole bunch of... Oh, damn it. So many of these genera are synonymous. So, oops, they discovered the same things over and over. So just redundant discoveries, I guess.
I found some fun things.
Okay.
So what Mericoedontodidia means is even-toed ungulate.
Ew.
And the ecology classification of this group is ground-dwelling grazer browser.
A grazer browser?
And that's hyphenated. Ground-dwelling grazer browser.
It sounds like a type of lawn equipment that your dad would buy to attach to his riding lawnmower.
Yeah.
Oh, I got my new grazer browser. Oh, your dad's always out there on his grazer browser now.
Or it sounds like an alternative to Google Chrome for a sheep lover. Let me look it up on my grazer browser.
Oh my god. Grazer browser could also be like a very cash dating site for cows. Are you on Grazer browser?
No, but I'm on Fraser browser because I love
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, I do love David Hyde Pierce though.
You know what's also and
tell me.
When you Google Mericoedontodidia, one of the things that comes up is Pinterest.
Really?
And it says 1,000 plus images of Mericoedontodidia on Pinterest.
Seriously?
I'm going to see what that's all about.
How is that possible?
Oh, yeah. There's skulls and fossils on Pinterest.
Are we about to find a whole bunch of people on the internet that like to decorate their apartments with the skulls of these pig, dog, sheep, cow,
camels, hippos.
Yeah.
There's like deviant art links.
That's very strange.
To drawings of oreodonts. Ooh, here's a great rendering of different faces of the different types of oreodonts.
Will you send that to me?
Yeah.
Will it give me nightmares?
No, they just look like weird sheep, cow, pig, camel, hippos.
So if we have a prehistoric little beastie,
yep.
What is the best music genre? Hmm.
Well, when I think about prehistoric little beasties,
yes.
the first place my mind goes in terms of music is, I have no idea.
Just rhythm? What's the earliest form of music?
Like tribal drumming and chants?
Yeah, maybe drumming.
Well, that ties in with beat poetry where you just have like the guy with the bongos in the back.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are we going to
do
beat
poetry? But it's as if it were cavemen with giant tribal drums instead of a guy with bongos and a beret.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
And you know what else we can do?
What?
I'm thinking about other early music and tribal music, and Aborigines come to mind.
Uh-huh.
And they invented the didgeridoo and those kinds of, you know, big long tones, sort of drones.
Yeah.
Along with drumming. So I think maybe some, like, you know, very ancient sounding basic drone type instruments and flutes along with big animal hide drums.
Whoa.
Would be the perfect accompaniment for this song about
Merikododontoida.
You're much better at it than I am.
Okay, so then I think I need to figure out what the earliest form of poetry is.
Hieroglyphics?
Which I don't... that's just writing.
I know.
Earliest form of poetry. History of poetry. The oldest... Oh, epic poetry, obviously. Yeah, of course. But poetry as an art form may predate literacy. Well, that makes sense. Because it was believed to be recited or sung. You know, oral history and all that jazz. Poetry is closely related to musical traditions. And the earliest poetry exists in the form of hymns. Yeah, many of the poems surviving the ancient world are recorded prayers or stories about religious subject matter. But they also include historical accounts, instructions for everyday activities,
okay,
love songs, and fiction.
So, I have an idea.
Yeah?
Could we be a tribe that worships Oreodonts?
I was literally thinking the same thing. Yes.
Let's do it.
Awesome. This would probably be culturally insensitive if all of these people weren't fossils.
There weren't even people at this time. Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
I guess probably not. So we're just making up cavemen who...
Yes.
Okay.
Or future people with a time machine that go back and fall in love with these things.
Great. I like it. I'm buying it. I've suspended my disbelief. I'm there with you.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to find my ancient flutes and didgeridoos and drums.
And I'm going to write a hymn or a prayer to Merikododontoida. So I have a prayer. Do you have music?
I have such devout music.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Well, let's mix it up. I'll go first.
Do it.
So tell me what you know about odes, Boo.
Very little.
Okay. So an
I know ode, that there's one to joy.
There is one to joy. Odes are actually a poetic form.
Uh-huh.
And typically when you're talking about an ode, you're talking about like a Greek ode, but then it was also a form that was taken up by, most famously, I would say, by poets like Keats and Wordsworth.
Mm.
So you'll, like, Ode to a Grecian Urn. Have you heard of Ode to a Grecian Urn?
I have heard of that.
Yeah, it's a very famous poem. Anyway, there are three types of odes. There's a Pindar ode, there's a Horatian ode, and there's an irregular ode. Basically, that's just, like, the kinds of structures and rhymes and schemes that they had.
Such schemes.
And an ode is exactly what it sounds like. We use that word commonly. It means that we are, it praises a person or a thing or a place, often like nature or, an abstract idea, like an ode to love or an ode to fidelity or like things like that. So it's in praise of something. Or an ode to
Merikododontoida.
Exactly.
Which
so anyway,
I can now pronounce flawlessly because I wrote it out phonetically for me.
Good job. So I decided that when I was writing my prayer, it would be an ode because it's a poem and not just a prayer. So the title of this poem / song is Ode to the Glorious Pig Dog Sheep. And
that's a great title.
Thank you. And whenever I get them clicks, and whenever I think about odes, I always think about like that super cliched poetic, just the capital letter O with the exclamation yes. point after it, you know? So I start out with O, four-toed, four-legged, foremost forefather of the lake lovers. Land dwellers, grass chewers, river runners, you of the snub snout, the small eye, the long tooth, you, ubiquitous, you synonymous, you glorious, favor me, favor mine, favor us. That's my prayer poem to pig, dog, sheep, Mary, Kodoy, Don, Toydia.
I love it.
Oh, thanks.
You didn't say Grazer Bowser, though.
Oh, damn.
I also just said Grazer Bowser.
Yes, you did.
Which is more of a Mario thing.
Should I try to fit it in?
You were listing...
Lake dwellers, grass chewers, river runners, Grazer browsers.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
I think it's fine. It's fine.
I like that it's in there.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. So yeah, so that's my prayer to Mary Kododontoya.
Well, I'm going to underscore your prayer using some ancient sounding instruments. And these are instruments that I just sort of associate with Zen feeling and those, like I was describing earlier, sort of long droning tones, things that are reminiscent of temples and such. So I am using didgeridoo, which, as I said, is a ancient aboriginal instrument that was made from hollowed out logs. Cool. And produces just one deep droning pitch that is varied by changing your breath and the shape of your mouth. I'm also using shakuhachi, which is a Japanese flute that's sort of like a smaller version of a didgeridoo. And instead of playing it with your lips pursed and making like a sound through it, you put the edge of your mouth over it and blow air over the top of it, and it makes it sound more like a flute.
We had a roommate who played shakuhachi.
Yeah. Hey, Abby.
Hi, Abby. Still probably don't listen to this, but we'll keep saying hi.
As far as drums go, I'm using a variety of drum sounds that I had access to, and it's a mix of African talking drums, which are drums that you can change the pitch of by putting pressure on the head of it. A Brazilian surdo, which is a large drum that has a very deep sound. It has animal hide over the top. And then a couple Japanese drums and other African shakers and things for punctuation.
What are those Japanese drums called?
Taiko.
Man, I said that before. I'm such a freaking sucker for those things.
Taiko drums?
They get me so excited.
That's like, the best part of Epcot.
Like, honestly, I could run a marathon if someone was just following me with those taiko drums. Like, I just get so into them.
You like the timpani in Edwin Averett.
That's exactly why I love that. It stirs me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connecting with that deep, deep primal self.
Okay, so you've heard the lyrics. You've heard Scott describe the music.
Right.
And
we'll let the actual music be a surprise. Oh, I forgot something.
What'd you forget?
I also recorded myself chanting a drone the name Mary Kododontoidea very slowly and evenly over top of these rhythms. So we're going to record you reading the poem.
Yes.
And layer it over my music bed, and then I'm going to use some shakers and things to sort of emphasize pauses and different words that you throw in there.
Awesome. I'm going to use my best...
Anna DeVere Smith voice?
Oh, no. I was going to say my best, like, student poetry workshop reading my poem delivery. And then next thing you'll hear is Ode to the Glorious Pig Dog Sheep by Shannon and Scott. Oh, four-toed, four-legged, foremost forefather of the lake lovers, land dwellers, grass chewers, river runners, grazer browsers, you of the snub snout, the small eye, the long tooth, you ubiquitous, you synonymous, you glorious. Favor me, favor mine,
favor us. All right, everybody, here's the deal. It's Shannon. GarageBand crashed, and I lost my outro audio, which I did not realize until just now when I'm trying to edit it. So I'm going to use Scott's outro audio and have a little fun recreating our conversation. So I'm sorry, but mostly for myself. So enjoy. We'll see how this goes. So Scott, what's the name of the animal we just wrote a song about?
Mericoidodontoidea.
And what's your favorite tubular food?
Sausage.
Boy, okay. You were ready for that one.
I wonder if they were delicious.
Yeah? You really want to eat one of these furry things?
No, I'm just wondering how tasty they were.
Uh-huh.
Pigs are delicious. I would whole roast a Mericoidodontoidea.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about you.
What if they were super smart?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't even know.
What if they were like dolphin smart?
Would you still eat them?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, would you still eat it if it looks like, I don't know, like...
Looks a little like Christopher Walken. Yeah.
Okay, I think this podcast has officially gone off the rails.
I bet you could teach a chicken to ring a bell for food.
And we're done.
If you like this episode, check out all our other episodes. We have a one-stop shop website.
That's songsaladpodcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter at songsaladcast.
And let us know if you like our idea of writing personalized songs for you. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together we're immensely regretting our decision to offer to edit. Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Excuse me.
It's going in.
No.
I'm the captain now.